shall we pray. Our blessed, righteous Father, we are full of appreciation to come to your presence this evening after the activities of the day. Though we know many must be the places of work because of the condition of service, but we are grateful to you that some of us are here already, and we believe that many are on the way. Lord, may be hindered by this rain. And believing, Lord, that you're making a way for them, they will join us. We remember others who are at home that because of health condition and other reasons that they are not able to come this time. We remember them at this time, asking you, Heavenly Father, that as we gather here, Lord, to honor you, to worship you, to appreciate you for your goodness and mercy, for your cares, for your healing, for your deliverance, for your power that you stretch forth into our lives every time, for raising standards against the enemy, for frustrating Satan's works, for destroying his works. We are very grateful. We have come to exhort you, Lord, by the way of your word that you have sent to us, by fellowship and a portion of it, to lift you high that you might draw men to yourself. We are very grateful. Thank you for your cares. Thank you for your blessings upon us, the various places of worship where we attended this past Sunday. Thank you for what your word is doing in our lives as we present ourselves again before you. Lord, you have sent your word to us, Lord, to make us ready for your coming. We are grateful. We pray, Lord, that the little time we have to exhort ourselves in this word that you have sent to us, that your spirit will give us revelation and understanding. Lord, that our lives will be better than we came in here when the service is over, we'll be going back home. Thank you, everlasting Father. We ask that you take preeminence. Forgive our sins. Forgive our shortcomings. We bless and appreciate you. We remember the sick. We remember the needy. So many needs are here represented and back home where they are on the tape now. We pray, gracious Lord, we pray, Father, that you will meet them at the point of their needs. And your name, and your name alone will be glorified. Thank you. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Praise be to God. Happy to be back here again. Thank you for your prayers for me. Believing that God is working out things for the purpose of his counsel. God bless you.
Let us open our Bible. Exhortation from from Timothy chapter 2. Second Timothy chapter 3, not chapter 2. Second Timothy chapter 3. Yes. I read verses 16 and 17. All right. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. The Lord bless the reading of his word to our hearts. God bless. Just a little exhortation this morning before we go to prayer.
I think we still maintain our 30 minutes. So wherever we get to.
Now, we have other scriptures that I'd like to read to buttress this 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. The topic that want us to look at is the purpose of correction, reproof, and instruction in God's kingdom. The purpose of correction, rebuke, and reproof, and instruction in God's economy.
When we talk about God's economy, I believe we know what we are talking about. We're talking about God's program of redemption. We're talking about the church of God. When you talk about God's economy, God's entire program of redemption is church. And every promise that he has made for that church, I mean, his promise that he has given to that church. So looking at the scripture this evening, and we are trying to look at the purpose of correction, rebuke, instruction, and reproof in God's economy. So now, if you are part of that economy, then you bring yourself into the picture. So in other words, the purpose of correction, the purpose of rebuke, the purpose of instruction and reproof to me, being a part of God's economy, being a part of God's program. Praise be to God. Let's move a little further so that we... The scripture that corroborates this, we find in Romans chapter 12. And that is verses 1 and 2. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. And it reads, I beseech you, brethren, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And we know that it is not possible for a man to be renewed, to have his mind renewed outside of God's word. A man's mind can never be renewed by creed and dogma. The mind of that man will be corrupted. The mind of that man will be polluted. The man will become confused. He will not know which way to go. When he is fed with creed and dogma, but it is the pure word of God that renews, that brings renewal of our mind. First, when we hear it, it leads us to repentance, genuine repentance, leading to water baptism, which is done in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Then the individual is qualified to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And these three processes, the prophet told us, can be completed within a second. It can be completed in an instant. Because God is a God of miracle. He is the author of salvation. Salvation is in his hands. He determines what to do. Nobody tells him what to do. Nobody says, save this one, don't save this. He is sovereign. He has chosen what he's going to do when it comes to salvation. But that is by his predestination. Which we know. Praise be to God. And so a man cannot have his mind renewed outside of the pure word of God. Not by creed, not by dogma, not by personal opinion and ideas as we have it all over the world. Outside of the message of the hour. And when I say the message of the hour, I know what I'm talking about. I'm saying the message where it is preached unadulterated. Because when you are talking about the renewal of the mind of a man, you are talking about conversion of that man. You are not talking about religiosity. You are not talking about, oh, come to church and come and pray. It's part of it. A man that is renewed will definitely do that. Pay your tithe, pay your offering. A man that is renewed will definitely do that. Obey God's instruction. A man that is renewed is the only one that can do that. And until a man's mind is renewed, which is another word of regeneration, which we are going to look at another scripture here as we proceed, which regeneration is through the word confirmed by the Spirit, as it was why Peter yet speak. What the Bible says, why Peter yet speak, what happened? The Holy Ghost fell upon them that had him. The Spirit of God confirms the word. Amen. Now, 1 Peter chapter 1, from verse 8. If you will get it presented to us. From verse, for as much. Verse 8, maybe I jump. Okay, I just speak part of that. Okay, no, project it. Yeah. Whom having not seen, ye love, in whom... Though now you see him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your soul. I want you to watch that. Receiving the end of your faith. That is the totality of you believing God is what? The salvation of your soul. So, that is for the salvation of the soul. And that is why the word of God for this time has been restored word. It's restored. Not the old carry on, because that cannot bring the true salvation of soul for today. Let's move on. Of which salvation the prophets have acquired, inquired. And searched diligently. Which salvation? That's in the Old Testament. The prophets in the Old. They have inquired and searched diligently who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you. Searching what? Or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify. When he testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. Now, unto whom it was revealed, that not unto themselves, but unto us, they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost, sent down from heaven, which things the angel desire to look into. Wherefore, wait. Oh, that's true. I should have asked you to start from verse 18. But God had need of it. Praise be to God. No, go on. Go on. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed. Yeah, we are here. There. For as much as you know that you were not. Okay. Wherefore, gather up the loins of your mind. Be sober. And hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance, which Romans chapter 12 says, don't be conformed to the system of this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. But as he which has called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. And if you call on the Father who without respect of persons, judged according to every man's work. You see that? The Father, who without respect of persons. So his judgment is without partiality. It's perfect. According to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here. In what? In lackadaisical attitude? In carelessness? In carefreeness? And it doesn't matter. Is that what the Bible says? Pass the time of your sojourning here. That means your pilgrimage journey. The time that you have to spend here. That is very, very limited. Let me pause while that thing is there. Do you know, each time we celebrate birthday, what it means is that We that is why the Bible tells us in Psalm 90, is it 91 or 92, that we should apply our heart, we should number our days.
and apply our heart to what? To wisdom. Number your days. Now, you will have to think, assuming I have 100 years to spend on the face of the earth. How old are you now? Deduct it. So how many years are left?
What is that? Okay, let's say somebody that's 50 years, Abby. You remain 50 years.
Somebody that's going to spend 100 years. Somebody that's
going to spend 100 years is already 85. How many years remaining?
15. But we are just looking at this as being constant. Okay? We are looking at this as being constant. The highest that we can look at. Or let's say 120. 120, 140. But ordinarily, look at 100 years. Look at your age. And now,
sorry, sir.
When we shift our eyes away from this, we now look at the time it remains for Jesus Christ to come. Considering the rapid transition of events. Considering the rapid transition of events. Israel is fighting a war with Hamas. We know what is going to come out of it. That is finally going to lead to Third World War with the rest of the nations of the world. But the bride will live here before that time. Are you with me? So the world is on his way out. The world is on his way out. Where we never can tell how long we have to spend here till Jesus comes. Let's say every one of us we have to be alive until the coming of Jesus Christ. How long is Jesus coming? How many years are you having in your mind? You just project. Look at the rapid transition of events. And then place yourself. Look at your life. Then see how many years are remaining. It will make us to wake up in a certain way. That's why the Bible says, number, it's not so much of celebration of our birthday. It is a reduction of the day you have to spend on the face of the earth. That's the reality of it. So it means that somebody that is spend 100 years, once he spends 50, he remains 50 years. Are you getting me now? Somebody that is supposed to spend 100, by the time he spends 85, how many years remain in 15? So he'll be waiting, he'll be looking for. So he has to prepare. And he is not certain he's going to spend 18. We are just presuming. So that preparation cannot be pegged to a certain year because death can come at any time. Nobody knows how long anybody will spend. So we have to pass the time of our sojourning here in what? In fear. Nothing like a dark attitude, not I. It doesn't matter. Not playing church, not being religious. It's to lay hold of the rich substance, which the same scripture told us there, that the end of your faith is the salvation of what? Of your soul. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed. Yeah, here we come. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, we are not redeemed by all those things, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was made manifest in this last time for you, who by him to do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope by being in God, seeing he have purified your souls in obeying the truth, through the Spirit unto unfailing love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a perfect fervent. Now hold on there. See that ye love them in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfailing love. That's love without pretense. Love without pretense. Genuine love. And that is agape love. That's not filial love. Because filial love will only defend itself, will only defend his partner. But perfect love, which is Zoe, the love of God, the life of God, does not consider anything but God's word. Perfect love. of the brethren, see that you love one another with a perfect heart, fervently. Alright. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. By the what? By the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. So we see from what we have read that it is the word of God that brings transformation, that brings renewal of the mind to the individual, quickened by the Spirit of God. When we hear God's word, when we hear the pure word of God, when we hear the unadulterated word of God, and the Spirit does not come and quicken it, we become religious. We become people with head knowledge. We become people that can make the, that can complete the quotation before the preacher hears the quotation. The Spirit has to quicken that word that we hear for our mind to be transformed, for our mind to be renewed. When our mind is renewed, then you have the mind of Christ.
Praise be to God. Right, let me read again from God's Provided Way, preaching 1959, April 15, in the afternoon. God's Provided Way, preaching 1959, April 15, preaching in the afternoon. Where? I missed out the paragraph here. But let me just read. You can catch it. I think before we leave this afternoon, maybe you can use that as a search word. I think before we leave this afternoon, we should check up and see what our Lord was talking about when he wrote this parable, or said it rather. You see, we should know how to tell the people to prepare for this great event that is coming. If the coming of the Lord is so great, it is the most essential thing that we must do, is to get the people prepared for it. Because if he comes and we are not prepared, then we will be left out. But we must prepare the way of the Lord with this, our message for him. Our message from him. You can't get it? Did you get the sermon? Paragraph 5904 15. God's Provided Way. Well, you listen to me as I read if it doesn't get it, because this time is not waiting for us. All right. So, because if he comes and we are not prepared, then we will be left out, because we must prepare the way of the Lord with this, our message from him. Because there is a way the scripture speaks of that seems right unto a man. There is a way that seems all right, but the end thereof is the way of death. Now, there is a great event coming, and that's the coming of the Lord. And the prophet said, it's a great event. Essential thing to do is to prepare, to get the people prepared for him. If the coming of the Lord is so great, is the major thing to the believer. Every other thing, getting job, doing business, having a house, riding a good car, having whatever you want to have. The major thing, this great thing, is what? Is to be prepared for the coming of the Lord. You know why? Because whatever that we have, once a man closes, once someone closes his eyes or her eyes, that's the end. You don't know what happens to what you have. You don't know. Whether you are very naked, you don't know. Whether people behind you are crying, you don't know. Whether people behind you are happy that he's dead, you don't know. Whether people are saying that he's a sinner, he died a sinner, you don't know. But you have a destination that you are going to go to that nobody follows you there. So that is the destination that each person must be thinking about. And the way you know where you are going to end it, according to the message identification, the way your life runs now, we tell you where you are going to end it, because your life will surely characterize some other characters in the Bible. Your life will identify with some characters in the Bible.
and the way where those characters ended their life and your life dotes their life, that's where you are going to end. That's identification summon. So if your life does not dotate with every part of God's word, you are the type that you lean on your understanding. You are the type that you lean on your opinion. The word of God hasn't got a place in you to transform your mind. If the word of God has not worked upon you to transform your mind from a carnal mind, from the way you think, from the way you see things, from the way you understand things, then you are still in the flesh. The word hasn't got effect on you yet. Now, remember the purpose of correction. Why does God correct us? Why does God rebuke us? Why does God reprove us? Why does He instruct us? It is because He wants us to be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works, that we might be part of His kingdom. That is why He's doing it. And the child that I love, He says, I chastise. From the seven church angel, this is the last warning. You can search out that. Use it as a search word. This is the last warning. From the seventh church, chapter 9, the prophet said, this is the last warning. There is no other warning coming. The warning that comes to you, the warning that comes to me, is through the message of the hour today. And that is why the prophet told us that the materials are here on the heart for the bride to make herself ready. The materials are the sermon books. The materials are other materials that are vindicated by science, proven by science, that we can have as materials around us to substantiate the claims of the prophet who brought the message. This is the last warning. There will not be another. The throne room has been set up. The 12 foundations have been laid. That is the first square city. The streets of gold have been paved. The gates of gigantic piers are raised and hinged. Give it a perception. Give it a picture in your mind of that first square city, as the prophet was narrating, giving us a view of that first square city. He said the throne room has been set up. The 12 foundations have been laid. The streets of gold have been paved. The gates of gigantic piers are raised and hinged. Like a pyramid, she stands so fair and glorious. The heavenly beings who have prepared her watch breathlessly. For she glistens and shines with a glory that is unearthly. Every facet of her beauty tells a story of amazing grace of Jesus. Of Jesus' love. She's a city prepared for what? For our prepared people. She awaits only for our inhabitants.
Yes.
Only for our, who are the inhabitants?
The bride.
And soon they will throng our street with joy. Yes. It is the last call. The Spirit will not speak in another age. There is no other age. There is no 8th age coming, as some are talking about it. But the 8th age, if we will say it, is the eternity that is coming. Because when God ended His work on the 6th day, He rested on the 7th day. On the 7th day, then the next day was what? Was Sunday, which is another day. God did not return to His work. So after millennium, the next thing is what? Is eternity. Praise be to God. There is no other age coming again than this 7 week. Laudation. Reading the scripture alone, Revelation chapters 1 to 3, tells you there are 7 church ages, which ends in Laodicea. And there are 7 messengers sent to them, to whom commission was given for the message of their day. There is no other person. And everyone that wants to go in the rapture must listen to that messenger, to that age. No addition, no subtraction, no your opinion, no your view, no your idea, no the way you see. Purely what He has brought. That is what is going to prepare the individual for this first season. The spirit will not speak in another age. The ages are over. Not yet over. I hope you understand. This is more prophetic. Okay? Now the prophet speaks more on this. Just allow me additional few minutes. From things that are to be. Paragraph 62. Oh, but the other one is called my father's house. I will go and prepare a place for you. Take you out of this pest house,
where we are,
this body, and deliver you into my father's house. Amen. There you are. Take you out of this old earthly pest house. He's going to prepare a place, a perfect place, where no evil exists. No sickness exists. No old age exists. No death exists. It is a perfect place calling you to that perfection. It's a perfect place calling you to that perfection. It takes perfection to be there. You remember prophet when he was taken to the sixth dimension? You know what he told us? He was told there that nothing comes there but perfection. If nothing comes to the sixth dimension for perfection, what about first class city? Because it takes the candidates of the first class city, of the sixth dimension, and the living bride that will be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, that will be transformed to meet the Lord in the air. It takes them, the living saint, and those in the sixth dimension, to be in the first class city. And for you to be part of those who will be in the first class city, while you are here, you must, the message must bring perfection to you. Because it's a perfect place for a perfect people. And the perfect people are perfect because of the message of Yahweh that they have accepted to change their life to the pattern of the world. It's a perfect place calling you to that perfection, and you have to be perfect to do what? To get there. That perfection is not according to your interpretation. That is where the problem is. That perfection is not according to your opinion. That perfection is not according to your views. That perfection is not according to my understanding, but the revelation of the word. What the word says. And that perfection comes to you only by the Holy Spirit. When that Holy Spirit comes into your life, that's he brings the perfection according to the stature of a perfect man. It is a perfect place calling you to that perfection, and you have to be perfect to get there. The Bible says so. Jesus said, be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. It is a perfect kingdom. So it must be a perfect people come. You see, because you have to stand and be married to a perfect son of God. And you must be a perfect bride. See the word perfect, perfect, repeating itself. So how can you do it through anything else but the perfect what? Word of God. You can't do it outside of anything. It is the word. Which is the waters of what? Of separation. That washes us from our sins. The water of separation separates you from your sin, from your unbelief. The word tells you don't do this. From Genesis to Revelation is dovetailed. It's confirmed. Don't do this. Don't do this. Don't do this. Don't do this. That is the water of separation. For the word of God calls for total separation from every unbelief.
May the Lord be our help. By the grace of God, when we have another opportunity, we continue. Why does God correct us? Why does He rebuke us? Why does He give us instructions? This is the way you should do. This is the way you should do. Don't do like this. This is the way. Why does He do it? That we might be perfect. Because that kingdom is prepared is a perfect place. And it takes perfect people to go there. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Commit yourself to the hand of the Lord this evening. Look into your life. How long have you been in the message? Is the word working in you? Of course, we sing the song. He's still working on me. Any progress? Is it the same? Are we using that song to convert ourselves? When really there's no change? He's still working on me.
That thing is a continuous thing. There must be changes. Changes in our attitude, in our response, in everything about us. And you have to assess your life by the stature of a perfect man. We must examine ourselves. The house of God is a clinic where we check all with our soul salvation. How are we preparing? Are you prepared? Or you think it's just a chorus answer? We are all going to heaven. We all be there. It's not a chorus answer. An individual, each individual must be able to give answers. Must be able to say it. Is the word having effect on you? Remember to whom much is given. Much is expected. To whom much is given. Much is expected. This assembly is greatly blessed. Word of God coming from different ministry. There's no excuse, brothers. No excuse, sisters. No excuse. There are places where they don't have even a single minister. There's not even a single minister. But here we are privileged. We are grateful to God. We are not blaming God at all. Remember that. But it's our best for our betterment. It's because God has his people here. But that word, you must not take it for granted. It's not just to come to church and sit down and hear good sermon. It's not just to come to church and hear sermon that costs. And what is the reaction? What comes out of it? We should not be agutan. We must have a change of garments. Our life must change, and we must have the proof of it. God is not going to look at anything, not the works of righteousness, not the work of good, not goodness, not piety, nothing. Every other thing outside of the Holy Ghost baptism is not accepted before God. And when the Holy Ghost comes into our lives, it keeps us growing like a baby. So it's still working on me can be applied when you see yourself growing like a baby. Nobody can design your life. Nobody can assess your life for you. You are the one. Because it's an individual's affairs. It's an individual affairs. So it's you and God. Not you and your husband. Not you and your wife. Not you and your children. Or children, you children and parents. No. It's you and God. Let us not strike short of God's blessings. Let's not strike short of God's blessings. Like Elisha told that king. He told him. He placed his hand upon the arrow in his hand. And he opened the window. He asked him to shoot. He shot. He shot three times. And then he asked him to take his bow and strike the ground. He didn't tell him how many times. He struck the first time, he saw the second time, he struck the third time, and he stayed. And the prophet was wroth with him. And he said, what? You ought to have struck four times, six times. Then you will have had victory. Permanent victory over the Syrian. But now that you have struck three times, he said, you can only defeat Syria three times. Let's not strike short of God's blessing. The time of grace is here. Let's key him. Let's come in. Let's key him. Let's apply the word of God, corrections, to our lives so that we can be perfect. Sisters, you know yourself. Brothers, you know yourself. The son, the body of the Lord. What makes us the body? What makes up the body of the Lord? Who is a member of that body? Discerning the body of the Lord. Do you know what it means to be a Christian? You know what it means to be a Christian? I will ask the associate to come and pray for us so that we can continue in the service. I don't want it to be a routine. Just let your desire be in your heart. God sees your heart.
Gracious eternal Father, we thank you very much for your word that we have just heard. Lord, reminding us of the purpose. Lord, of correction, of instruction, of rebuke, of doctrines. Lord, unto righteousness that the man and the woman of God might be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And we have been told from your word that that perfect place that you are bringing your people is for a perfect people that you have prepared by this perfect word. We ask, dear God of heaven, that none of us will be only hearers of your word, but will be doers of the same. Lord, your word said, O God, that correction is only grievous to him that has forsaken the way. And I said that he that eateth rebuke shall die. We pray, dear God, that you will not make our hearts such a heart that is stony, Heavenly Father. Let our heart be hearts of flesh, Lord, that we can receive instruction from you, we can be corrected, we can be instructed. Lord, we can be taught doctrine, so Father. We pray, O God, that your spirit will work upon every heart. Let it be there, Father. This portion of your word that we have heard tonight, we ask that your spirit will inspire them in our heart as we continue to meditate on them. Bless your servant you have used, dear Father, and recall him and lift up the honor of his ministry. Lord, when, O God, we continue again, may the Holy Spirit take us further, O God. Thank you, Father. Be with us as we continue in the prayer session. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Let us listen to this. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Do you believe God has answered your prayers? Yeah, he's faithful. That is his promise. We will not pray if we didn't believe. Yeah, he promised to answer us. And may the Lord grant our desires in Jesus' name. But before I hand over to the associates, let us sing from Rock of Ages, clap for me. So by second stanza, before the third stanza, we hand over to him. Can we be on our feet?
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you very much for this midweek service that your grace has made it possible for us to be a partaker of his blessings. Thank you for bringing us from our different homes and places of work. We thank you for the worship aspect of the service. Thank you for the time of exhortation from your word and the blessings we have received from the same. We thank you, Lord, for the hour of prayer. Your prophet has told us that that is the only thing we cannot do too much, that we cannot pray too much. Thank you for this privilege to pray for this short period. We pray, O Lord, that this will just be a foretaste, but in our privacies, you will inspire us to pray the more. When we pray, give us faith to believe, dear Father. The ones we have asked tonight, Lord, we have not spoken to the ears, because each time we pray, it's because we are ready to hear. And Lord, as we have committed our needs, our problems, our desires, our requests to you tonight, we know, Lord, that they are receiving attention already, Lord, before your throne of mercy. Give us that faith and assurance and confidence, Lord, to know that these requests are answered already, Lord. We pray, dear Father, that the faith to go testifying and be in expectation for their manifestation may you give to each and every one of us. Thank you, dear Father. Your servant that you have used, O God, Lord, to lead his service, we ask that you bless and replenish him and lift up the honor of his ministry and grant all his desire also. Thank you, dear Father. Your servant in the mission field, though we have prayed for him, but Lord, want to commit him into your hand in those states that you help him, especially in this season and in those cold areas because of scanty population. May you give him good health, Heavenly Father, and make use of him, Lord, as a great channel of blessing to your people. Lord, by the time we'll be coming back, that you come back with great testimonies. Let it be, Heavenly Father. Lord, we just want to once again remember our pastor that you're cooking his mortal body and perfect his earth, dear God, and restore him back to his post of duty. Thank you, Father. The rest of the week is your hand. We commit, Lord, Friday unto you when we gather here again, Lord, for the communion service. Make it a blessing for us, dear Father. We ask, oh God, that you help each one of us, Lord, to take it serious as your word has made it serious. Thank you, dear Father. Blessed be your wonderful name. We are grateful and we are thankful to you. As we go back to our homes, you are the one that brought us safely. Take us back home safely and give us a peaceful night rest, oh God. Blessed be your wonderful name for hearing and for granting our petitions. Because we have asked them all with faith and thanksgiving in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. The Lord bless you. On Friday, being the last Friday of the month, we'll be having a communion service. At the usual time, 5 o'clock, we're seated. The Lord bless you. How great is our God? Oh, how great is his word? Yes, he's the greatest one. Yes.